You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 26th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Jenny. How you doing, Jenny?
I am okay. Technical difficulties aside, I might throw my computer out into the street after this update, but otherwise, could be worse.
Could be worse.
I could be Chelsea. I could be Chelsea.
You could. It's possible. It's possible. We are here to update you on everything happening on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. Yesterday, it was day 24 in the Big Brother Canada 7 house. And what a day. It wasn't that crazy, but things happened. We talked a little bit about them last night on the round table, where I made a big move on the stock watch and took a commanding lead. That happened. Make sure everyone knows about that.
I'm very proud of you, Taryn.
Yeah. and in the Big Brother house, we start with a conversation with Sam and Esty. Now, the night before, Mark had a conversation with Sam, but the feeds kind of cut for it. We didn't really know what was happening, what he said to her exactly, but she kind of recapped that conversation with Esty in the morning, saying that Mark was making it seem like that she shouldn't trust Dane, that she should be worried about Dane, and that that she's in a lot more trouble than she thinks she is. And she is telling this to Esty because she doesn't believe him and she thinks he's being sketchy. And so this is basically just Sam being very dumb.
Wow, what a theme. I mean, this feeds into what happens later. I feel like the discussion of what's going on between Mark and Dane is really interesting. So, we'll talk about that later, but I know you kind of touched on it last night. Yeah, this is not a good conversation to be having.
Yeah. So Sam is telling Esty this of all people, and Esty is going to give her a weird look after she leaves, because of course Sam is still like Esty's number one target. And so I don't know why Sam is telling any of this to Esty. Mark was telling her the truth, that she should be wary of Dane and that she should realize that she's in a lot more trouble than she thinks. But Sam,
why is that the person you go to? Like,
Yeah. What are you going to do? Eddie has a conversation with Corey. We talked about this on the roundtable last night. But just in case you did not listen, it went something along the lines of, hey, Corey, listen. Everyone's been saying that you're lying about your age. You're saying you're 29. Everyone thinks you're older. And look. I don't care if you're older. It doesn't matter to me. I came into this house. I wanted to work with the older people. Right. I mean, Jenny, I understand that you're lying about your age. I know you're older than you. I know you're like in your 40s. But I want
pretty
you to
close,
know,
Taryn.
I want
pretty
you
close.
To know that I want to do updates with people in their 40s. That's why I like, I feel like that's something that I came into the podcasting world to do. And so yeah. I just pat you on the back a little bit. Look, I understand that you wanted to lie, but it's okay. I accept you for who you are, Jenny.
Thank you for looking past how old and grizzled I am, giving me a chance to be aligned with you, someone so powerful and, you know, well-connected, has all the intel. You're just such a kind, kind, considerate person, Taryn. I appreciate
Am
you
I
so
Anthony
much.
Now? I'm really, yeah, you're right.
You can be any of those people.
You're totally right about all of those things. And I'm just going to let it hang in the air. So Eddie's telling Corey this. Corey's like, no, I'm really 29.
Like, I'm actually 29.
Born in 89. In sixth grade, it was 2000 whatever. I don't know what else to say.
I feel bad for her, too, because, like, as someone who, you know, people get my age wrong, like, I watched when she first came in. I totally missed when they announced her age. And then the first, like, couple days of watching feeds, I was like, I don't know why. I literally did think that she was, like, maybe in her 30s. But, like, I'm, like, 4 years older than her. And I definitely had no idea that she was 29. But, like, you don't say that. Like, especially in the wake of the, you know, the mama reveal and all of that. Just, like, it was, Eddie. It's hard to watch. It's very difficult to
watch.
Yeah,
and it's just, it's so bad because she's saying she's 29 and he gives her this sort of like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'll let you lie to me.
No, legitimately, I'm not lying. They talk about her career a bit too, right? Like he talks about how people think that she might be lying about her actual job too. It's just like, don't.
Well, yeah,
believe it.
She also talks to Damien about it after.
Yeah, but Damien, right? Yeah.
And she's like, do people think I'm not 29? And he's like,
maybe.
Yeah, people also thought you were like an Olympian, spy, some other
it's
things.
It's Donnie BB16 all over again.
Yeah, people thought Donnie was older than he was too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corey is kind of the Donnie. That's I'm kind of feeling like that might be, well, not quite, but like I feel like she's kind of sliding into that role possibly.
Yeah, she's kind of the Donnie if Donnie had completely fallen for everything Derek was doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is Anthony Derek? I don't know. I don't like this comparison anymore. Let's move on.
So Chelsea is gonna talk with Kira a bit. Chelsea spends a lot of her time with Kira today talking about her campaign, talking about Kira themselves, talking about just anything at all. It's hours and hours of Kira talking. In this conversation, she is going to talk about her campaign, and she talks about how she's not willing to go against Sam and Adam in her campaign. That's not what she wants to do. She wants to play a clean game. She just can't do it. She can't do it. It's not in her nature.
The ship has already sailed for that pretty much anyway. Like, I know you guys kind of touched on it last night that the time for her to, you know, sell Sam and Adam out is kind of past. And I really agree with you that I don't think that there's really anything that Chelsea can do at this point. Yes, there is several days before the vote, and this has been a waffly house. But I just, with this present set of circumstances, I know that it's frustrating to see a player that could be capable like Chelsea kind of just laying down and dying and not selling out her alliance to try to keep her there. But I honestly also just don't think that it would even work. And so I do have a little bit of sympathy for her. It's like, I understand the frustrations everyone is having. I share them too. It's very frustrating as a fan, as someone who would like to be in the house as well, obviously all of these things. But she's just really screwed. Like, there's just no way that anyone is going to keep her. And I don't know if she's also just recognizing that and saying, you know, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with dignity and not selling up my alliance. I don't know, but I can kind of understand where she's coming from to an extent, because from my outside view, that's not going to save her, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's definitely in a lot of trouble here. You know, depending on where Mark actually is, I think, like, starting to think about it, there might be a small path for her somewhere, but she's not going up the right path right now. Right now, she's focused on Kira primarily, and then beyond Kira, she is focused on Eddie, which I do think is an okay path. I think she, you know, we'll talk about that. And then also later, she's then going to focus on Anthony and Corey, which I feel like is a losing battle. I feel like she should be focusing on Mark and Damien, because those are the people I think she might be able to actually sway. And with Mark, Damien, Eddie, Adam, and Sam, she might have a chance, but like I said, even then, probably not, because you can't really see both Adam and Mark going against the other two right now. Probably, almost definitely, but I don't know, maybe.
And this kind of speaks to, you know, how poor almost everyone's read on, like, the relationships in the house are, because she says later on, I think it's when she's talking with Sam and Adam, she literally names, like, Damien and Mark will do what Dane wants. I need to work on Anthony and Corey. And like you said, it's almost the exact flip of that, that she's already kind of ruling those two out as her path. And though, you know, knowing what we know, those two are actually probably the better to pull in. So Chelsea's, she's done. It's too bad.
Yeah. And Anthony just wants her to come to him, so that he can be like, aha, everyone comes to me. I can flip the votes if I want to, but I decide not to.
Anthony is like definitely getting like he feels like the king, and he's like getting poutine poppy, poutine king. He is getting joy out of like manipulating people. Like, he's definitely got like some evil to him that I certainly didn't see going into the house. Like, I really feel like the last like week or so he's kind of turned a little bit, and he's getting almost joy out of like being this person that Chelsea comes to for advice, and then like kind of just like snickering after she's like leaving the room, being like just leading her to slaughter.
Anthony is pretty interesting, actually, because he really embraces the role of the villain. He doesn't pretend to be a good person in the house. He is just genuinely evil, and he fully embraces that role. It's almost like Pop and Paul Jackson. I need to be the bad guy, but actually he's really good at the game. And it's really interesting. It's been a long time since we've had somebody just be a full on embrace their own villain. Like, we kind of had Kayla last season, you know, laugh at people after they left or even to their face and be, you know, kind of intentionally, you know, mean to people. But even then, it was, you know, that was kind of just her, you know, being her. It wasn't like full on, like Anthony gives, like, he's talking to Chelsea later, and she, like, she looks down and he's like,
he takes like any opportunity to like look at the camera or just be like, yeah, like his little sly grins.
He's like, he's truly like a reality TV villain of the old days that we don't really get anymore. And I like it, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping, you know, it's interesting watching what we can get from him on the feeds, kind of, you know, showing that he's aware of this, you know, this role he's in. But I'm kind of looking forward to seeing if we get some more DRs of it on the upcoming episodes, of him really leaning into it, because I mean, we need to have a villain. And I really feel like that's Dane and Anthony right now, but they're playing a pretty good game. It's hot. Like, it's difficult to watch. Some of it does feel a little bit mean-spirited at times, but at the same time, like, we sort of want this. Like, we want there to be, you know, a villain. It's just, I think that the community, when it's like at the expense of one of their faves, it's really hard to hard pill to swallow. And that's, I think, why a lot of people are pretty anti Anthony right now.
You're supposed to root against the villains. That's what they're there for.
Yeah. But they are like, you know, take them out of this situation. Well, I mean, that would be a whole other story, but They serve a purpose. So
yes. So anyway, back to Chelsea. She is not really focusing on the right course of action here at the moment, at least. But she is going to put up a little bit of fight. But again, just very distracted by Kira for a lot of the time. So she says she's not willing to go against Sam and Adam. And then Kira, you know, kind of starts talking, and Kira lets Chelsea know how important it is to get Canada on your side. Kira's like, hey, you should be talking to Canada. And make sure, you know, you got, hey, Canada, can we get some twists to help us out here? This is the person who was dead last in the RHAP stock watch form favorite player poll, talking about how important it is to have the audience on your side. So I thought that was kind of funny.
I mean, it's usually the people that think that they're the rootable, you know, figures that, are not. So that this is the same old thing as every season. The people that think that they're the heroes of the season are not. So I really hope that Kira is going to have some support when they get out of the house, because I don't know how much this has been talked about, but it's been talked about that Kira has borderline personality disorder. And that, I think, if casting knew about it, is irresponsible casting, in my opinion. And the type of game that it is like extremely, problematic for someone like Kira. And they are going to find out that they are not, you know, beloved by the community. And I think that's going to be really hard to take. So I just wanted to take a moment to say, you know, I do not condone the things that they are doing, the way that they're treating Chelsea. I think that a lot of that is a byproduct of their situation. And I ultimately, you know, it's going to end this week anyway. The Chelsea and Kira thing is going to end. I think we'll all be better for it. But I do hope that Kira does have a good support system when they get out of the house, ultimately, whether it's pre-jury or later, or maybe they win the game. As you said, it's still possible. So. Yeah.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And again, it's very, very important to note that no matter how much you may hate somebody in the game, once they get out of the game is over. And like, yes, Kira has done some very questionable things, but that does not mean that two wrongs make a right. You do not harass anybody. Do not it is not your job to correct their behavior. They will have to live their lives, and there are plenty of other people who will not listen to me or anybody else and will do it for you. So you do not have to join in.
I just encourage people to maybe like Google borderline personality disorder, because Kira had discussed it earlier in the feeds. I don't think it's really come up a lot. Read a little bit about that mental illness, because it gives a lot of context to how they act. And as much as it's not to say, well, like give them a free pass or anything like that. It does give context, and maybe it will just kind of teach the community to maybe just be a little bit kinder, when they get out, because I don't think that Kira is a purposefully malicious or manipulative. Like, I don't think that they mean to be this way. This is how they process, you know, what is happening to them in this situation. And I just feel like the Big Brother house is probably the wrong place for someone like this. This is the wrong kind of game. And yeah, that's okay. I'm off my soapbox now.
No, and you're totally right. And I think that, it requires you see somebody doing something really bad and you want to condone the behavior, but I think it is possible to condone the behavior without condoning the person's existence, right? And so I don't know, it's a thin line, and you know, people on Twitter are not the right people to walk that line. It's an important message for sure. All right, so Kira also talks about how their targets, Mark and Eddie, Mark and Eddie will go on the block if Kira wins, so they say. bye, Eddie.
Yeah, this double eviction is just going to be terrible. No, I shouldn't be so negative, but Eddie, and there's a later conversation between Eddie and Damien, like, oh man, Eddie is not in a great place. For someone who should really be in a better spot, given, you know, the landscape, he has not put himself in a good position at all. And even the people that he should have as allies are kind of not trusting him anymore. So Eddie is one of the, besides the Sam and Adam, top choices for people that are going to go up on the block in the double. Eddie's right up there, and he really shouldn't be. I just really think that he shouldn't be, and here we are.
Yeah, he's up there and rising. So they also have a long conversation. We talked about this on the roundtable as well, about how Kira is non-binary, and they have a long, long conversation meant to be educational on the feeds. So I will say again, if you are interested in learning more about Kira and how they view themselves and everything that has gone along with that, Chelsea asked a lot of questions. Kira then talked to Adam and some other people about it as well. Really with the intent to educate. So this is a great learning opportunity if you are confused or in any way.
Yeah, I actually thought it was a really interesting conversation. Kira talking about the fluidity of both gender and sexuality, where people can fall on the, you know, like the spectrum of it. They go into a lot of detail about their personal experience through it. I wonder if this is something that'll make the televised show, but I think it would be good. It's just, I also just think it's such a complex issue that I wonder how they can package that into a little 30-second to 1-minute bit. Obviously we had our moment with like Damien talking about like, his experience as an Indigenous person in Canada. I think that these conversations are so important and so educational. But when you also have like all of these segments of like silly things and like Wendy's and like, and then you're just like gonna, you know, how are you gonna wedge something like this into the show and have it seem authentic? That's more so my concern about it. So I just encourage people, if you can, go back and watch that conversation on the feed. That is really interesting, and I do think it's important.
Yeah, and also important to note that Kira says, like, I can only talk for myself, and this is a very, very individual thing. So, even if it is something that's aired, and even if this is something that helps educate you about Kira, they can't speak for everyone that's non-binary or everyone that's in this community. They can only really speak for themselves. And I think the most important lesson of all of it is that, just remove your expectations for what things are supposed to be, and let people explore and find the right thing for them, and just accept what they want to be. And it's not that hard. So that's
very good
say.
Message. There's people asking about what time that was. That conversation kind of spanned, I want to say, like between like 5:30 and like 7-ish Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
You want to go back and try and find it?
Yes.
If you can.
All right. So Kira is then later going to talk with Sam. And this is when we get back to the bad things again. Kira talks about their relationship with Chelsea, how they feel like that there's some reciprocated interest there, despite the fact that Chelsea has said there isn't. Maybe we're missing something. Kira says that Chelsea is one way with them at night and then another way with them during the day. But really, my opinion on that is even if there's a hint of truth in this, if you have mixed signals, that means it's a no. That's a no signal.
You don't drive at the yellow light.
Yes.
Like you don't. Well, maybe you do, but you're not supposed to. So that's, that's kind of the analogy I'm using for it. If like you're getting a mixed signal, if the signal is not green, then you stop.
Yes. Very simple.
Yes.
You need full green. That's the only time to go.
Yeah. And again, I think that it's, you know, this is probably very confusing for Kira, but they're not going about it in the right way. And they are trying to inject, you know, what they want out of it. And it seems like Kira is trying to perceive, is focusing on the signal from Chelsea that she is interested or does want this kind of attention from Kira. When Kira should really also be paying attention to when Chelsea is kind of giving the coldness or pulling back or however she acts during the day. They also talk about how they think that Chelsea maybe thinks that they're not being filmed at night or something. Cause like they're saying like, oh, well, you know, maybe she acts this way during like during the day because she's trying to like appeal to, you know, she knows that they're being filmed, but like at night she thinks that like she can be like more of herself and let loose or something. It's like, I'm pretty sure Chelsea knows. I'm pretty sure that Chelsea knows that they're constantly being filmed and that they're always on the show. So
yes, and it's only going to get worse from here because then Kira talks about how they want to make sure they kiss Chelsea before they leave. We're also going to get a little bit more confirmation from Anthony later, who lets us know that Kira had told him that they were pretty confident that they were going to make out with Chelsea before Chelsea left. And Kira's also going to talk to Dane about it. And the thing that makes this even worse is that the plan is that they've been getting parties on Mondays. They've been getting alcohol. And so they're really hoping that Chelsea is going to get a bit drunk and then they can cuddle and that's when they can go in for the kiss. No.
Kira does not shut up about them getting booze the entire night. Like it was like 11 o'clock and they were still being like, yeah, well, if we get alcohol, it's like, you're not getting, the more that you talk about, you know, why you want alcohol, the less likely you're going to get it. Like there's going to be no party if you're basically saying like, oh, I hope that we get booze because I'm going to try and kiss Chelsea. Like, oh, that is absolutely not a good idea. And ultimately I am glad that, you know, even though it would have been nice to watch some boozy feeds, I don't want to watch those kinds of boozy feeds. And if, you know, I think production did the right thing and not, you know, keeping the tradition of the Monday night party, I guess. So
yes, it would have been incredibly irresponsible after hearing that to then give them.
I think
alcohol.
That they should be doing more. Yeah, because I don't know. A lot of people have been, you know, sharing the same criticism of how production is kind of handling this situation. I understand it's incredibly delicate. However, when someone is repeating that they want alcohol so that they can try to kiss someone, even though they've acknowledged that that person is maybe not interested in them, you should do more. Like this is not good. So in the very least, they didn't give them booze last night, which was for the best, but I think that more could be done besides that.
I agree, because this is also not the first issue with this. If you guys remember that there have been a couple of issues with Kiki, where Kiki has felt like Kira has crossed boundaries and forced themselves onto her with kissing and cuddling. So it's really an issue, and I do think it should be addressed, you know, even if it didn't happen tonight. Like, there are people in this house that are going to be made to feel uncomfortable. Kiki already has felt uncomfortable. This is something that should be shut down, that nobody should have to feel like, you know, oh, this person might, you know, make advances on me that are unwanted and I have to dodge them and I'm on national television and all of this stuff. So it's
I really feel bad for like basically everyone involved, because I know that it's probably hard for, you know, Kiki and Chelsea also to be you know, expressing their discomfort with it, and they're trying to, you know, maintain their position in the game. They're trying to not you know, the issue of, you know, finally having someone non-binary in the house and how it appears on the outside, if they are, you know, trying to say that they're being predatory or anything like that. Like, it is such a complicated issue. And again, I'm just going to reiterate that maybe some compassion for, you know, the people on these ends of it is like, is really difficult. The production really needs to be, I don't know if they're nipping it in the bud with Kira at all. Like, it doesn't seem like they are, or maybe if they talk to Kira in the diary room and then they just go back to doing the same thing. I don't know what it is, but I think that, you know, limiting the alcohol is one thing, but I also don't think that should be the only way that they deal with these things. They shouldn't have to just be like, okay, well, if we just don't give them booze so that they're not in these situations where it's more likely that something could happen, then we're doing everything we could. I think that probably more should be done in the diary room in terms of addressing Kira's behavior and relationship with them.
Yeah, so. It's strange because Big Brother Canada is usually way more involved in making sure nothing controversial is happening than Big Brother US. But Big Brother US has stepped in for things that are much lighter than this. So far, Big Brother Canada has been silent. Once more, especially now that the alcohol thing is involved, just in case anybody needs this message, if you think you need alcohol in order to get somebody to do something, then you should not be trying to get them to do that thing. That is very much not how consent works, and very much not how you should ever be going about anything. Just no.
And this is a lot different than like, oh, you know, I know that this person gets like loose lips when they've had a couple drinks, and this will be the time like that I have a strategy conversation and try and get them to spill things. Like, this is a totally different thing.
It's Leticia in the chat says, has anyone had a one-on-one conversation with Kira about this, like a cast member? Unfortunately, no. In this conversation with Sam is actually kind of like a little bit like supportive of the idea. Kira is also going to talk with Dane about it and about how they want Chelsea to get a bit tipsy, and then Kira wants them to play truth or dare, and they say, hey Dane, can you help me out and dare Chelsea to kiss me? Dane is kind of also like, sure, that's great. And they talk about Dane and Esty and how they haven't cuddled yet. So it's, unfortunately, I don't know if they're just not seeing it or what, but this, yeah, definitely not a behavior that has been chastised by the other house guests.
I think also, one of the issues here is that Kira crumbles very easily, as we've seen. And I think that a lot of people are really just don't want to be the person that addresses it with them and is not knowing how it's going to impact them and what the reaction is going to be. And so it's really just like this collective avoidance that's happening. Even when these conversations are kind of coming up, people are just kind of like dodging the issue, which doesn't help the situation. But I also can understand where some of these people are coming from, where they're like, oh, I don't want to touch that. Like, that's messy. So,
yeah. So let's move on here.
What a fun update today, Taryn. Sorry.
So Mark is going to talk with Dane in the storage room. This is a much lighter, much more fun topic on this one, because we can talk about some possibilities here. Mark is talking to Dane about Sam and how they need to get Sam out. She's worth $14,000 in the jury house because she's one seventh of a vote. They're talking about all this stuff. And, you know, talking about threats, should we get Damien out? Should we get other people out? What about the vote this week? So on and so forth. And then Dane leaves the storage room. And after Dane leaves, Mark looks over to where Dane was. He looks back at the cameras. He goes like, shh. He's a dead man walking, if I win HOH. He's a dead man walking. A walking dead man.
Dead man walking.
That mean, Mark? You're going to go after Dane in the double eviction? I don't believe him.
Is Mark just really, you know, not loving that he's not in a mastermind position and sees how well Dane is connected and just like has no ability to control, you know, himself and waiting longer for this to fall apart in some other way. And it wants to be the person that plucks out the connector and like, so that everyone scatters. Like, is he just obsessed with some sort of chaos? Like, I just want to talk to Mark and ask him what is, obviously he sees through Dane. Obviously he knows that Dane is connected and is obviously a, you know, huge threat in this game. And maybe this is telling us that Mark no longer, you know, cares about the pretty boys, you know, to the end. But why now? Why? Like, I don't know. It's very fascinating. And it's really funny. Like, the entire like community is just like, suddenly I stan Mark. Like, I guess Mark's going to do something. Mark's going to like shake things up. So, even though it's maybe not necessarily in his best interest for the game.
I would go as far as to say completely against every possible interest he could ever possibly have in any game of Big Brother ever.
Like, and does he know that? I don't know. Does he really think that he's going to pick up the pieces? I don't know.
Some people speculate that it's because he's jealous of Dane's relationship with the twins and that he, you know, he wants to be in with them. I don't understand how taking Dane out, their favorite person, would ever
it's gonna piss them soften off them more. Up to
him. They already hate him. They would definitely hate him afterward. Like, this is like think about the first five, right? And how Arlie was kind of transitioning, getting into a position where he could jump ship from the first five. And so Arlie eventually did jump ship from the first five and then pretty quickly still got evicted. Even though he prepared a lot, he had some allies waiting for him. The first five completely crumbled. Mark, if he's doing this, has no allies. In fact, everybody outside of the Pretty Boys want him gone. And then if he does this, he turns the Pretty Boys against him. And he won't take out the target he's trying to go for, because I don't see any scenario where Dane goes home in the double eviction. And if he tries to find allies with anybody else, he's got none. There's nobody left. Even Chelsea will be gone. Like, Sam will be with Adam. Kira's still kind of with Dane and also hates Mark. Like, there's nowhere for him to go. It just doesn't make any sense. And he's in a great spot right now. I don't understand how this could possibly be a move that he's actually thinking about making. I genuinely have trouble believing it's his real plan, and that maybe because it's been so vague and he's never actually come out and said that he's trying to target Dane, maybe it's something else, like targeting the twins or doing something to undercut Dane in some way. I don't know, but it's crazy.
I can understand what you're saying, where like, it can't possibly be that he's going to go after Dane and that it's maybe something like trying to take away, like, you know, a piece that he has, whether it's the twins or whatever. But it's just like, I really can't see that as being why he would say that he's a dead man walk. Like, that the way that he versed it is like very confusing if that's not actually what he meant. But Mark also strikes me as the kind of guy that has like a, you know, like twisted view of how people perceive him. Like, he thinks that he's a lot better socially and a lot better liked than he actually is. So It is possible that he does think that he's in, you know, more of an Arlie spot where he can maybe pick up people. Like, but how does he think that, like, he really thinks that he, and we're talking hypothetical. It's probably that he doesn't think this. I don't know. But does he really think that he's going to grab like Eddie and Damien and Court? Like, none of these people are like close with him. And he's, I'm thinking maybe he just wants chaos. I don't know.
Yeah, Damien doesn't trust him. Corey doesn't trust him. Kira wants him out. Esty wants him out. Kiki thinks that he has a crush on her and still just can't stand him and might just want him out, even though she doesn't feel threatened by him because he has a crush on her, but still just doesn't like him enough that she kind of doesn't want him to be there. Sam doesn't trust him. He tried to go to Sam to give her good information and she still doesn't trust him and wants him out. Chelsea wants him out. Everybody wants him out except for Dane, Anthony, and Adam. And he wants to target Dane? I don't know.
It's like, sometimes I think like, okay, well, like, Dane's one of the people that knows most about like how good Mark is. Like, the whole like the rap that he has, like with all the days and all of that stuff. But like Mark has willingly given this information to Dane. So it's not even like, oh, Dane's on to me, so I can't be having someone who knows what a threat I am to win this game around. But it's like, you've been the willing participant in making sure that someone like Dane knows exactly how well you're playing the game. So like, that doesn't even make sense to me. I need some Mark DRs because I don't know what is going on. That is wild to me.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see where this goes. There's definitely a lot of hints that he is doing something shady. I mean, he went to Sam to tell her that, you know, you need to be cautious of Dane for a reason. But I really just, I don't know what his game is, but it's just so hard to believe that he is that stupid. Maybe I'm Chelsea with Adam right now, only the opposite, where she thinks he's so dumb that he couldn't be smart enough to have started the Pretty Boys. And now I'm looking at Mark and being like, there's no way he's that dumb to actually go after Dane. This is a Cindy move, 100%. And it's hard to believe there's more than one Cindy out there.
I just, the one thing I'm thinking could be the case is, one, that he, you know, he really thinks that he's better positioned than he actually is, and that he's got better relationships with people than he truly does. Because from our, like, you know, as you've just discussed, like, this person doesn't like him, this person wants to take him out. Like, he very well could be just so deluded about his relationships with these people that he thinks that he is better connected. And also just be like, he might just be bored and really just looking to get that big move. And like, I don't think that he's dumb. I do think that he is possibly deluding himself in terms of how he's seen. So it's not so much about being dumb. Like, he's clearly a very intelligent guy. I just think that he maybe lacks the social awareness to see how terrible this is for him.
It's possible. It's possible.
Anything's possible.
All right. So
it could be this bad of gameplay. It really, truly could be. We've seen so far. It's messy. It could get messier.
Yeah. So that's happening there. Some potential intrigue for the double eviction. It will also make the stock watch a little more interesting.
Okay. Round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Dane is going to talk to Esty, and Esty, after having talked to Sam about Mark, is now wanting Mark out once again, because Esty had kind of been swayed by Mark's talk with Kiki before, and this idea that Mark is kind of maybe into Kiki and that he wants to be more of use to their alliance. It kind of got, you know, Esty, oh, poor Mark, you know, like, maybe we should bring him in a little bit more. Maybe we should name an alliance. But now, having talked to Sam, is realizing, oh, Mark is still playing both sides. He is still trying to work with Sam and Adam. He's dangerous. We need to get him out. You know what, Dane? I want Mark out before we get Adam out. That's how bad I want Mark out. Sam is, of course, still the first target, because that's what Dane says. But after Sam, Mark, and then maybe Adam. So, not good, Mark.
Yeah, no.
So that's Esty's thoughts at the moment. Then we have Chelsea and Eddie. Chelsea's going to talk to Eddie and finally have this conversation that she should have had yesterday before Kira interrupted. I'm amazed that Kira didn't manage to interrupt this one. Eddie really wants to know from Chelsea, you know, you talked about my name being out there. Like, who is putting my name out there? Like, what's going on? Give me some names, Chelsea. And she's really reluctant, like, oh, I really don't want to say, you know, it's not my game, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but she does kind of eventually imply it's Dane and the twins are really putting your name out there, and you know, talking about you like you're somebody that's just easy to get out, you're a wild card, and you should be wary of them. And she also says, of course, also Mark, he's the worst, he's really dangerous, and that you should go
that
after
Mark guy. The absolute worst. Everyone.
But this is a good conversation for Chelsea, and Eddie is kind of like, now that she's naming names and telling him some of the things that he kind of knows are going on, he's starting to feel better about Chelsea and starting to think about, maybe I should keep Chelsea around.
Well, Chelsea is also like one of the first people who's giving Eddie a dose of reality in terms of how he's seen by other people in the house, like, and is giving him actual information that he can use. They have a good relationship. And while Chelsea did very little in terms of campaigning yesterday, like, I do think that this is someone that is absolutely key in her staying. Unfortunately, he's so powerless. and we see that in, you know, his preceding conversation, I think, with Damien, that did not go well at all. But Eddie is actually getting, it's almost like a sign of respect, where Chelsea's kind of being like, listen, no one takes you seriously and it sees you as a manipulated, like, number. Like, this is how you're viewed in the house. Whereas everyone else is very just like kind of coy with him, being like, yeah, like, we don't talk very much, but like, I like talking to you. And like, just, I don't know. She just gave him some real talk, and maybe that will like light a fire under him. But I just feel like the damage is done already with Eddie in terms of like not being well regarded and respected, that he can't even work well as a soldier for Chelsea.
Yeah.
So like, what good is his vote if he doesn't have anyone to pull in? You know, you're not gonna stay with Sam, Adam, and Eddie alone. So.
Yes, and he has very little social capital, so he doesn't have much. Just can't really help him that much. And we will definitely see that play out a little bit later. But first, we have to talk about Anthony and Corey. Corey, they just have another one of these conversations where Anthony just tells her what to think, and she says, "Yes, sir.
Yes, sir."
She's worried about the fact that she's coming off as more of an athletic threat. She wanted to try and play that down. Anthony says, don't worry about it. I got you. I'll cover for you. I'll say you're a shield in front of people. That'll prevent people from targeting you. You'll be totally fine. Oh, thank you. And he says, he tells her all of the people that she shouldn't be targeting and all of the people that she should be targeting. Adam, he's not going to come for you. He's going to go after the girls. You know, the twins, they might put you on the block. They're one of the few people that might put you on. Obviously, Sam is going to put you on the block, but maybe then the twins after that might put you on the block. And Eddie's dangerous for sure. You know, you can't trust Eddie for sure. So, you know, those are just the people that you should be targeting if you happen to win a double eviction HOH, maybe. And she's like, yeah, totally. Yep. Okay. Sam, the twins, Eddie, I'm good. Thank you, Anthony.
Wow. Just, you know, not naming some key figures there, but, yeah, I mean, Anthony loves having someone to control. And I think that that's like the big issue with Chelsea, and why he will never keep Chelsea, is because she sees through, to an extent, and she, you know, she comes off as a strong, and this is not to say that Corey is not a strong, independent woman or anything like that, but like, Anthony very much needs manipulatable people, and like, that is Corey right now, because Corey kind of just needs to do what she can do to stay in this game, and whoever is giving her information is going to be who she's loyal to. So Anthony's very lucky in how he has Corey like this. Chelsea, he talks about this at some point, being like, oh, if she had just, you know, come and let me tell her exactly how to do it, she could have stayed. But like, he needs that woman that will, you know, just, he can just deliver the order, and then she can do the dirty work.
Yeah. Chelsea, we're going to talk about, has a conversation with Anthony at the end of the day. And it's her first real conversation with Anthony since day four of her HOH reign. And Anthony has brought that up. Like, they were having great conversations with each other, where they had a kind of back and forth, and they were both like these two sort of titans of the game, you know, sparring with each other with conversations. They had a respect for each other, and it was going well until Kira brought up to Chelsea, hey, maybe we need to be wary of Anthony. And that's good that she realized she should be wary of him. But then she just stopped talking to him altogether. She told Adam about her suspicions and then never talked to Anthony again. And so then Anthony heard about her suspicions, and then she never came to him. And it's just like, this is honestly, this is like the primary reason she's going home, is that she couldn't keep up the facade of like, you know, as soon as she was on to somebody, she couldn't pretend. And that's not good.
It's a difficult thing to do, but if it's a very key thing to be able to do, is when you know someone is, you know, is manipulating or trying to manipulate you or is lying to you, taking that information and not changing your behavior towards them and letting them continue to think that they have you while keeping what you've got up in there and just being like, when I can do something about this, I will.
Yeah.
But you're everything you're saying is exactly right. If you pull back there, that sets off the alarms. As soon as you start acting differently, or, you know, pulling back your conversations or your closeness, it's very obvious that you're on to something, and that the trust is broken, whether you've even said anything to anyone about no longer trusting Anthony, that, you know, actions speak louder than words. And if she is not being able to, you know, continue to play up that she's in with him, it is kind of on her. But I think that you need to recognize it is kind of a really hard thing to do. Like, ultimately it's a game, but these are humans, and it is in your human nature to not want to be fake with someone that, you know, does not have your best interests at heart. So like, the people that are really good at that do well in this game.
And that's,
you can be fake.
Yeah. And that's why people like Chelsea, you know, eventually, oh, this game is so fake, I just can't be fake. It's not for me. It's like, oh,
like,
just what you signed up
you
for.
You should want to be, like, whether, you know, even if you're not great at it, you should want to be better at that, because you have to recognize that that is so key to the game.
Yeah.
So it's the, I don't love when it's like, oh, I can't possibly be bothered to be fake around these people. Like I'm just going to stay true to myself. Like, that I don't love. I can give some leniency if you're not so great at it, and you can maybe recognize it and try to, you know, work on it. But it's the like, well, I'm better than these people because I won't act fake.
Yeah, there you go. So Eddie is going to go to Damien with this new idea of, maybe we should keep around Chelsea. I'm going to put out some feelers, see what people are thinking. He asks Damien about his thoughts on the vote, and Damien's like, simple. Chelsea. That's it. And Eddie's like, yeah, but like, if we think about it, you know, Kira, you know, blah, 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 and Chelsea might be valuable. Like, I don't know. Just thinking about it. And Damien's like, no. Pretty simple vote, this one. Definitely.
The body language was so evident in this conversation. Like, it was very, very uncomfortable. And Damien was like annoyed off the jump, almost. Like, he was just kind of like, this isn't a thing.
It's important. Like, it's important to remember that Damien has been bonding a lot with Corey. And I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before where I talked about the very long conversation Damien had with Corey, where she told him that Eddie is a flip-flopper and that he's a pot stirrer, and that you can't tell him anything because he'll run and tell other people and he'll lie to you. And Damien was like, wow, that's really good information. Thank you. Damien has held on to that information. He had already been kind of sketched out by Eddie, because Eddie seemed like he was campaigning for Kaylin to stay over him. And so all of that combined to the fact that it's been, Eddie hasn't talked to Damien since Kaylin was still in the house, like in any real strategic conversation. And so when Eddie comes to Damien about like flipping a vote, Damien's like, well, this, I can't give him anything because he might use that against me and try to put a target on my back. So Damien is like very much just like, no, not doing this.
Yeah. Like, I'm not even going to, you know, feign an interest in flipping this vote, because I don't trust that you're not going to turn around and tell someone like, oh, well, Damien said that he would vote out Kira. And he doesn't see that the issue is that Eddie is actually really is going to Damien as someone that he kind of sees on the same level as him, as like kind of, you know, being on the outside of something bigger and maybe having some, you know, pull in being like a swing vote on this, and is genuinely trying to work with him. The well's been poisoned when it comes to Eddie already. So
yes, and Eddie tries to explain to Damien that he we can't play Dane's game. We need to be thinking about these things. And Damien's just not really receptive. And Eddie tries to say, well, you know that Dane and Anthony tried to flip the vote last week, right? Like that they tried to get you out, and they it didn't go through, but they were the ones that tried it, not Sam and Chelsea. And Damien is just like, I don't know about that.
Sure.
Eddie pretty quickly realizes I've made a big mistake. And he's like, I thought you knew. I don't know. You didn't know that? I mean, okay. So Eddie leaves. As soon as Eddie leaves, Damien says to the cameras,
right in.
I don't believe him. This guy's a wild card. I don't believe a word of that. You got to trust your gut in this game.
And he's like, Dane's been HOH twice and hasn't put me on the block. And, this guy he's telling me all these things. And he was even talking, it's really sad because Damien does not trust Eddie at all. He even talks about how you're saying that I'm a real Canadian in front of knowing that it's going to get on the show or something.
Which,
like that.
To be fair, I do think is manipulation on Eddie's part. He does.
Oh yeah. Eddie knows what he's doing. He pretty much says right after Eddie leaves, he's like, I'm not buying this shit.
And his reasoning is Dane and Anthony talk to me all the time. Dane has kept me off the block twice when the other HOHs have put me up both times. And you haven't talked to me in days. You're a wild card. Everyone says that you like to lie and you run to power and you put targets on people's backs. And you come in here and you tell me that I shouldn't trust Dane, the guy that's kept me safe, and I should keep Chelsea, the person that put me on the block. I'm sorry. And he even says, look, if you're telling the truth, I'm sorry. But I just can't believe you. That's just how things are going to go here. And then Dane walks right in and he's, Damien's like, you won't believe what just happened. Eddie came in. He was talking about flipping the vote for Chelsea. And Dane's like, what? No. And so he talks about that. And then Dane does ask Damien does ask Dane, hey, who tried to flip the vote? It was Sam and Chelsea. Dane's like, oh yeah, they're trying to get votes. And he's like, no, last week. And Dane was like, oh yeah, it was Sam and Chelsea. They were doing the thing. And so Damien doesn't reveal what Eddie told him quite yet. He says, well, okay, we'll talk later. I've got some things to tell you later that will be funny.
So it'll be a funny conversation later.
Yeah. Good instincts for Damien to withhold that piece of information, even though he does plan on telling Dane later. Dane then leaves, and then Damien's going to continue to think about this. And he thinks more like Dane and Anthony trying to flip the vote. That just doesn't make any sense. But okay, if they did try to flip the vote, maybe that's why they came to me right after to cover their tracks. I don't know. Maybe I should go talk to Sam and Chelsea about this. And it's like, oh, here we go. Here we go. He's thinking. But first, he's going to go talk to Corey about it. And he asks Corey about it. It's like, no. And yeah. Corey, of course, is like, oh, no, Anthony would never do that. I mean, I don't know anything about this, but I'm pretty sure that Eddie's lying and that Anthony and Dan are telling the truth. They're totally cool guys and would never lie to us.
Watching Damien work through this problem and play the game is a lot like when I was in the live audience on the premiere, watching him try to find the room, which actually took over a half an hour, and they edited it to make it look like it was a couple minutes. It's like he would go up the stairs and we'd be like, no, that's not where you go. And then he would he'd go back down the stairs and he'd walk near the room and everyone would be like, yes, that's what you need to do. Perfect. And then it's like, he just walks by a door and you're like, no, that's the wrong move. That is how I feel watching his actual gameplay, because he does have some good instincts. He is not a dumb guy. He knows how to, what you just said about how he talks with Dane. I feel like he's really good at doing the bro down thing, but not giving too much information, but still appearing like he's going to continue to give information if he has it, showing cards, but not showing too many. It's really, really interesting watching him play because he's like, it's like he's almost there, but then he's trusting the wrong person that has the wrong interests. It's complicated and frustrating, but I think that everyone is really rooting. Everyone wants Damian to be like the hero. And it's really frustrating for the audience to see him, take these missteps and miss these opportunities to really turn things around.
Yes. So, he's talked down by Corey a bit, but he does still say, maybe it's worth talking to Chelsea and Sam about this. So he may still go and talk to them, or it might be the sort of thing where, you have the intention to, but then by the time the next day happens and you wake up, it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe not. So we'll see. Maybe he goes there. Maybe they're able to convince him that that was the case, and maybe it gets his gears turning. And maybe all of that is able to happen without him putting a big target on his back, because that's definitely a possibility here, too, where, the more you get to the truth, the closer you are to being targeted by those in power as well. So, I mean, Eddie really trying to start something now is, his target is rising for sure. Definitely one of the most likely people to leave in the double eviction at this point, especially if Damian does eventually go back to Dane and lets him know about what Eddie told him. So, even without that, the fact that Eddie is trying to flip the vote for Chelsea and he was already a target, things are not looking good for Eddie at all. But final conversation of the night, Chelsea, as we talked about, her plan is to go to Anthony and Corey and try to flip them. She feels like that's her path forward. So when she goes to Anthony, he just kind of like gives her a pep talk, like an Anthony coaching talk, and basically says you shouldn't be going after Dane. It's a bad move. Yeah, and I think Anthony's satisfied, but Chelsea's not going to get anywhere.
No, not at all. It's not happening.
Yep.
And he loves it.
Yep. So there you go. That's basically what happened yesterday. I hope you enjoyed this update. We'll cover lots of different things, spanning many different topics. Anything else that you wanted to bring up, Jenny?
I think that's it. I think I touched on all the things that I had been holding on to, so I'm all good, right. I think.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. You can find Jenny. Where can people find you, Jenny?
Twitter, Instagram, I don't know, other things. I'm pretty much everywhere at Jenny Autumn.
There you go. And I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that's happening today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And then Thursday night after the double eviction, we will be live to recap everything that happens. Might be a crazy one. There's definitely some possibilities in here.
I'd love a crazy one. Let's do it.
Watch out. all right. Thank you once again for joining us. I will see you next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.